Who's going to be presenting? Joe? All right, we're...
The audience, and I'm pleased that they're here and they might want to speak up at some point. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we've been in meetings for the last couple of days, and some decisions have been made about some of the positions that we have on some pieces of legislation. Before I get to the specific pieces of legislation, after working with the superintendents for the past couple of days, I'd just like to make a brief observation to you that our superintendents are working very hard out across this state. To a certain extent, they're beleaguered, they're tired, they've experienced some burnout working with some tremendous issues that are adversely affecting the children in our public schools. I'm not trying to get a sympathy vote or a sympathy for them. They get paid for what they do. They really do want to try to make it with children and provide the necessary programs for the school children across the state. Numerous obstacles are coming up periodically that causes problems for them. A lot of the problems they're experiencing are coming from unintended consequences. Sometimes we think it's real easy to change a funding program or it's easy to deal with student transportation, but it's like that ripple in the pond. It creates waves, it causes other things to happen. And I think that some of them feel these days as if maybe they're also dealing with more than a pebble, that it's been a boulder that's been thrown into the lake. So unintended consequences are coming their way every day. Mr. Chairman, if we could look at the yellow sheet I've given you, this is just simply to help you kind of follow and you make the comments that you like as I talk about some of these. And I am going to do this in 15 minutes, so feel free to cut me off. But the House operating budget, Mr. Chairman, some of the characteristics of funding for public schools next year are in the concepts of co-payment for student transportation, which is another bill. We think that student transportation needs to be funded fully. That's a uniquely state responsibility. It's a unique kind of a contract that we have out there. And school districts do act as kind of glorified secretaries or clerks to make that state contract be put in effect and provide student transportation. In connection with the budgeting and the foundation program, we'd like to suggest to you that it's necessary that we get a study of the foundation formula. And the school administrator, superintendents, has offered to the legislature that they will be involved in that to the extent you're willing to call on us and let us be involved in that study. That study probably needs to be funded. There's going to have to be some money put into getting that done. I think when SB 36 was passed, that was the intent stated. And yet we see nothing in the department or nothing in the legislature to indicate that, in fact, that study is going forward. The governor's capital budget, we want you to know that you can pass the governor's budget, you can pass another for capital construction, GO bond, whatever you'd like to do, but it is important that you get some construction projects on the street in the next few months. Mr. Chairman, we have students in terribly inadequate facilities across this state, unhoused students. And the CIP list that you get from the department shows a part of that, but some way become an advocate for school construction and get some money on the street to provide, make that possible. We don't know if the governor's is the one. We're not into the detail. The legislature needs to make that decision. Revenue bonds, if you put that out, we think that we could do some things to let people know about the need and could help such a bond be passed. On page 2, if you'd mark out the last paragraph that says that leaves $40 million in bonds, we think that's incorrect information if you'd mark that off. Some of these items have gone through different levels of hearings and so forth by committee, so some of the information in these narratives may not be totally accurate. The bill might be somewhere else. And you can also mark out that fourth point completely since we've covered it on the previous page. That's a duplication. The increase to student allocation on page 3, We strongly support that. Senator Wilkins' bill would put about $10.5 million, am I correct, into the hopper for public schools across the state. We want you to know that that money is seriously needed out there. And we can give you all the reasons which you've heard before. Let's not do that. Let's just simply say to you that it is vital for schools to get that money through that mechanism. We support the quality school grant funding that the governor has put out. And I've heard enough from you individually to know that you're supportive and understand that after the exit exam results come in, there are going to be many needs that will be recognized. And so with $10.5 million from Wilkins' bill, with $7.5 million from the quality schools, if that were to be the amount you'd put in, it would be a fresh breeze. It would be a tremendous help for public school education in this state. Mr. Chairman, compliance with IDEA. We don't like paperwork. We don't like a lot of the factors that go into special education and gifted and talented. But we want you to know that we support this bill. The reason we do is we think that the state could stand to lose about $14.3 million from federal funding if you don't do something comparable to this. Mm-hmm. At least what we're hearing from Washington, D.C. and the Alaska delegation, from other people that seem to know, they're kind of indicating to us that the state's on a short leash. And if you decide not to pass this, then I think you really need to check with the feds and see where we stand with it.
Darrell, let me interrupt you there. Your organization agrees with the administration's bill that separates gifted and talented from kids with disabilities, the accounting of it, and so on a district level?
That's the consensus that superintendents have arrived at. Right, gifted and talented needs to be left out for a lot of other reasons, but what we're saying is let's get that bill in its purest form. One of the concerns we always have is when a bill starts, the things start getting added to it. You could make this thing really difficult for us to handle.
Representative Coghill?
I'm sorry to have to ask a question on this issue because there's, a whole plethora of questions. But can you give me at least a thumbnail sketch on how the funds come from the feds to the district? Do they all have to flow through state hands? And if so, my biggest concern is that this particular bill is saying, okay, feds, you do whatever you want. We'll just do whatever you say. And I'm really concerned about that.
And that really grinds his heart, doesn't it?
Yes.
I have full sympathy with that. Yes, the money flows through the State Department. It does come to us that way. And a lot of it is earmarked very tightly. You can't just do anything you want to with it. It's, we would suggest, maybe one of the worst ways to fund things. But after it's all said and done, there's $14.3 million there that, unless you can find out differently, we think the state could lose it in the next year or two. So, and keep in mind that we'd like to see that thing left pretty much like it is. If we start adding a lot of stuff into that, it could soon become unacceptable. That's a terrible fear. I mean, when you're dealing with this kind of an issue, this kind of a statute, if you start piling a lot of stuff in, it could get out of hand in a hurry. Don't put GT back in it. Mr. Chairman, number 8, we'd suggest you look, and the group did say yes to this. We'd like to see you continue with SJR 38, 39, and we'd propose you send that to the feds immediately. The cleanup bill on PERS, TRS, no position. The supplemental, Mr. Chairman, that we feel like that once obligations are made, contracts are cut, the supplemental is necessary. There is strong support in the supplemental, and keep in mind that, in fact, the House, this has passed, but you did a good thing there. We want you to know that student transportation supplemental showed some understanding of the legislature on how student transportation works. We appreciate it. I guess just again, thanks for that support. The Mackey plan, it's interesting that quite a few people have come out from the rural areas of the state saying that they in fact find a lot of sentiment against that because of the children involved. They're concerned that a 5-year-old might lose out by getting the $25,000. All of a sudden they're 18 years old, ready to go to college, and they have nothing to show for this. So look at some options. The one that was proposed and got the most support What about taking the child that's under a certain age, holding their money in trust until they got old enough to receive it themselves? Just a thought. And then the rest of the money left in the permanent fund, set that up and put it into an endowment for public education. We're not at all adverse to that. The long-term physical plan, we have a lot of expertise, but perhaps we don't know enough to comment on that. We didn't take a position. The school discipline and safety program, many districts have gone on record in opposition to this bill. I think you know that. It has some factors in it that causes some serious adversity to the bill, opposition to it by many school districts. The changes to pupil transportation, the SB 290, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, let's look closely at that copay issue. If you want to cut the cost of student transportation, and you can cut, if there's anything else you can do, fine. But when you involve school districts into the payment of part of that, you're taking the money directly from the instructional side of the district. The general revenue of the district, when you start tapping that, there's a great inequity that sets in. Some district, Anchorage, has a big amount of student transportation. Another district perhaps has little or none. You can't cut student transportation funding and remain equitable across the state and treat people equitably. criminal information, no, we didn't take a position. Immunization of students, no position. School debt reimbursement, we support the concept of reimbursement for construction and would support you in any way we could to see to it that a good, solid reimbursement program stays in effect. The change to the foundation formula, please mark out the second bullet in the rest of that narrative and stop with to lower the bar from 750 to 450 in the foundation formula. And then the superintendents support that, and I think you know that it just affects two or three school districts. We support it and would commend it to you for your consideration. Unintended consequence is what you're dealing with there from the past SB 36. The response to the tax cap, Mr. Chairman, we oppose it with two stars. And yet we don't quite know what to do about it. Remember, the school administrators are sitting out there. They want to keep everybody happy. We'd like to see that everybody's happy on everything. And but that thing is so devastating, we don't know how to start describing it to people. The Pledge of Allegiance, no position. One of the comments, some people do feel like that local boards have policies and many districts can handle that themselves. The free exercise of religion, the group came down as saying that this will open up quite a bit of problems for them, and so they've expressed a no consensus to support that. Such terms as to show the compelling interest of the state becomes a very difficult and hard thing to do, as we all know. Alaska Board of Technical and Vocational Education, we're not sure what's behind this. We think that this state needs more vocational education, and sorry that it is being cut, that the impetus has gone the other direction. But we're afraid this sets up a bureaucracy outside of existing bureaucracies, and that it in fact could drain some of that federal money that it's talking about away from the school districts that now receive it. So we'd like to see a stronger vocational education program within EED. We think that, in fact, the emphasis has gotten so strong in some directions that this is an area that's being given not very enough significance. Don't create any new bureaucracies. The 23 is a duplication. Please mark it out. 24, the retirement incentive program. Mr. Chairman, we took no position. The prevailing attitude of superintendents, though, in spite of that, was that we're opposed to that bill. Little support, but not much. Excluding principals from collective bargaining, let us not try to bring something back to life. We want you to know we continue to not support that one. The native language program, no support for that. Leave local control in place to govern that issue. If you would make a 27, it would be HB 365, the REAA consolidation. And the group was pretty unanimous in opposing that one. And when you start talking consolidation issues, please look at the research. Look at what happened in the Midwest and out across the United States in after the 50s consolidation movement. Some of the major studies that came out of that said the consolidation didn't save money. It might cause a little bit more laboratories and science programs and a little bit more offerings of courses, but the overall effect was not to cut expenses. In southeastern Missouri, where I came from, the schools that joined into county districts back in the 50s and 60s, the last school in New Madrid County, Missouri, a couple years ago, went back to an independent district. That county today sets as it did in the 50s with different school districts because consolidation got too expensive. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to quit. I appreciate your time. I'll ask any questions.
Senator Kemple.
Mr. Chairman, do you consider yourself a professional administrator?
I haven't given a lot of thought to that. That's been my life, to be a school administrator. Mm-hmm. A professional, yeah.
But you subscribe to a professional code of ethics and the like.
Yes, I put a lot at stake when it comes to being professional in the field of school administration.
Okay. You know, there's another professional organization, the American Society for Public Administrators, ASPA. I don't know if you're familiar with them. So.
Totally new to me.
Well, there's an interesting dialogue going on there amongst those professional public administrators about what's happening in our country, and in particular, how there's an increasing sense of individualism that's getting out of control, and that public administrators have a moral and ethical responsibility to help to nurture a sense of community with a big C. As you went through your list here, I couldn't help but be struck by the fact that many of the issues that you're struggling with is a reflection of that self-interest that dominates our culture these days, and that there's not a countervailing force out there to talk about community. And I hope that the school administrators really begin to recognize that is a very, very important issue these days. That and you have, in my mind, a professional responsibility to ensure that the community, that individuals realize that they do have obligations to one another, obligations to the greater good, obligations to the big C community.
And superintendents with obligations to other superintendents?
Public schools, public administrators have a responsibility to engage the citizens in a discussion about the public good.
Yes.
Because you are public administrators of public organizations.
Yes.
And you are uniquely positioned to engage the citizenry through your public hearing process, through your outreach process, through your educational of the voters about the need to approve bond packages and the like, about what is the greater good, and particularly here in Alaska, what is an Alaska? What does it mean to be an Alaskan? And as we struggle with this property tax initiative, I think you should be using that as a vehicle to engage the regular citizens in a discussion about, what is the Alaskan community?
A point well taken.
Thank you. And thanks for the dinner last night. And enjoyed the superintendents and administrators I got a chance to visit with. Good hand to draw to, as my father would have said, and I think a very talented and caring group of people, and tell them to not be discouraged. A better day is coming.
Thank you.
We're adjourned. Thank you all.